The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Monday, November the 1st, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. Well, Fulton County will hold the biggest elections in the state tomorrow in the midst of a performance review. A three-person team appointed by the State Ethics Board is not saying where in Fulton County it plans to be tomorrow. That's because it wants to be able to get a, quote, candid assessment of the county's processes. Georgia's new voting law enabled the State Board to authorize performance reviews of county elections. It has the power to make changes depending on how that review comes out. Not having a federal race on the ballot often means a light turnout at the polls, but in recent elections, especially in Metro Atlanta, both new and old voters alike have been willing to stand in long lines. How might those lines look tomorrow, and what effect might an especially long ballot for Atlanta mayor have? Well, I put those questions to Kennesaw State University political scientist Kerwin Swent, and when we spoke earlier in the afternoon, I began our conversation by asking him, what about this election stands out?
Well, I guess the thing that's most different is that everything now seems to be about Donald Trump, even local and state elections. And I guess primarily everyone is looking at the gubernatorial election of Virginia as a sort of a post-Trump test run about how Republicans do in what is now a blue state like Virginia.
And when we talk about municipal elections, kind of the local contests, is there any here locally that you think have been influenced by Trump?
Well, I think to some degree, a lot of them have been influenced, even ones that usually focus on just local issues or economic issues, because Trump has become such a figure in politics that even Republicans who aren't necessarily associated with Donald Trump may have to answer a question. Do you support Donald Trump? Or do you agree with his view of the 2020 election? So it's sort of seeped into a lot of the political conversation around the country, regardless of the office.
I want to talk about Atlanta mayor, that race specifically. There are 14 names on the ballot tomorrow. Does that matter, or does it complicate the situation for those vying for that position?
Well, it's a nationally watched race. This is an important local race, obviously important to us here in Atlanta, but it is nationally watched. And I think it really comes down to the two major candidates, regardless of how many names are on that ballot. I think it comes down to Kasim Reed and Felicia Moore, who will probably face each other in a runoff. And I think that's what most people are expecting, and that seems to be where we're headed.
They did not have much love for each other while each was in respective office prior. If they are the two top vote getters and go into a runoff, what does it look like between tomorrow and that runoff in terms of how they campaign against each other?
Well, you're right. They're old foes. Felicia Moore on the city council and Kasim Reed as mayor faced off numerous times over transparency issues, ethics issues, financial issues. And so their old rivalry is reignited with this mayoral race. I think the runoff, if that's what happens, it'll be pretty hot and heavy. You'll have a lot of money spent. You'll have national reporters here covering the runoff. And they're going to go at each other. Let's face it. I mean, there's no love lost. They're well known to each other, and they have no problem attacking each other's ethics, their morals, their behavior. And I think we're going to see a lot of that.
Do you think that is water off a duck's back in terms of Kasim Reed and his administration's ethical? You know, he's not been charged. Let's be clear about that. But many around him have been.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's an ethical cloud hanging over Reed's administration. He was never charged with anything or accused of any wrongdoing. Yet he was constantly on the defensive over a number of issues, returning campaign donations and the like. And so that's going to be a constant theme, I think, of a runoff. And, you know, he's got a thin skin for someone who's a two-term mayor. He doesn't like being attacked. And I don't think he's going to like it any better this time around.
Looking away from Atlanta specifically, these are not the only races going on in the metro area. Are there any other municipal offices that stand out to you that you'll be watching?
Well, we have a number of municipal races and county level races in places like Cobb County and Gwinnett. And the metro Atlanta area now is very purple. You know, it's not a conservative bastion anymore. And so some of these races could result in a partisan leaning of going Democrat, going Republican. And so those are the ones that have the most intensive interest, I think.
And voter turnout, sometimes it's hard to predict, but any indicators that you've seen that might indicate a robust time at the polls tomorrow?
Haven't seen anything that indicates a robust turnout. I think early voting for the mayoral election has been modest at best. I want to say it's like 30 or 35,000 votes cast so far. And so off year elections, whether it's no presidential or gubernatorial race, like here in Georgia this year, it's hard to get turnout up, and it's usually low to medium. And so that's probably what we're looking at again.
Kerwin Swent is a political scientist at Kennesaw State University. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. We appreciate it.
Thanks very much.
Well, when we get through tomorrow, elected officials will pick right back up on Wednesday, and state lawmakers are expected to redraw political lines based on new census numbers. And Susanna Capilouto reports it will only be the first step in a battle over political power for the next decade.
If redistricting were a game, oh, let's just say baseball in honor of the World Series, Republicans would be swinging with bats the size of tennis rackets. That's because in Georgia, the party in power gets to decide political lines. But like in any game, there are rules they'll need to follow.
Rule number one, you need to equalize populations.
That's UGA political scientist Charles Bullock, who wrote a book on redistricting. So each district should have about the same number of people.
Rule number two, and this grows out of civil rights litigation, is that you cannot discriminate against minorities when you're drawing districts.
This rule is where Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act comes in. And the 2020 census shows that Georgia's minority population has grown, says voting rights lawyer Brian Seltz.
As Republicans go about drawing the maps, they need to be very aware of the effect of those maps on minority voters throughout the state.
10 years ago, Seltz says Georgia Republicans were very aggressive in drawing a lot of districts they thought they could hold. But in recent years, some of those, especially in suburban Atlanta, flipped to Democrats.
We might see them play more defense than offense in this round because they can't stop the dramatic population changes that are still going on in this state.
There are several map proposals already floating about. One from Senate Republicans. Democrats made their suggestions public, and advocacy groups have also mapped out ideas. But when the redistricting game starts later this week for real, Bullock says it's only the beginning of a long process.
First round is played out in the legislature. Second round is played out in the courts.
So look for Democrats and Republicans to tee up their arguments so they can score a victory in that court challenge. Susanna Capilouto, WABE News.
And there are exceptions, but in general, tomorrow polls open at 7 a.m. and close at 7 p.m. If you're in line at 7 p.m., you generally will be allowed to vote. An increase in international travel from Atlanta will continue to be a key part of Delta Airlines' recovery from the pandemic slowdown. That's according to Jeff Davidman, the vice president for state and local affairs at the Atlanta-based carrier. He says the airline saw that happen this summer.
Whenever a country opened, we put service in. So, you know, a great example is we hadn't done Atlanta to Athens, Greece. But Greece was, I think, the second country in Europe to open up to vaccinated travelers. And as soon as it opened, we put in Atlanta-Athens service. And it was great because people just wanted to travel and they needed to go where they could get to.
Earlier this month, Delta CEO said passengers should expect long lines at airports for the busy holiday travel season, this especially after the U.S. lifts restrictions for vaccinated people. All right, Game 6 of the World Series is tomorrow, and it's back in Houston. The Astros broke out the bats just in time in Game 5, ending a slump and rallying past the Atlanta Braves 9-5 last night. That cuts their series deficit to 3-2. Carlos Carrera delivered three hits. Martin Maldonado found three different ways to drive in runs. And pinch hitter Marwin Gonzalez blooped a two-out, two-run single in the fifth inning for a 7-5 lead. But all that's in the past. Atlanta could bring it home tomorrow night. You can find more local news on our website, wabe.org. That's it for The Brief. I'm Jim Burris. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you donated to WABE yet? I know you've heard us talking about why it's important, but it doesn't have to be this big decision. You can give at whatever amount fits your budget. It can be a spur-of-the-moment thing. You already get so much out of public radio, so just go for it. Visit wabe.org/donate and become a member right now. And thank you.